Welcome back to the Creator Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Francis Zier, and with us today is Michelle Kerb, co-founder of Gloria, a modern media brand for adult women who aren't yet old, but still aren't young. The primary product is a weekly newsletter, and Michelle is a sales and revenue strategist with nearly 20 years of experience leading monetization for early stage, digital first media lifestyle brands. Michelle, how are you?
I'm good. Likes that intro. Very good.
You know, we gotta give you a good intro. Okay, so like I just said, you've been doing this work for like 20 years. And I think you've been doing Gloria for around 3.5 years, but this is your first venture as a co-founder, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you ever miss being an employee?
Of course. I mean, well, there's part of it. I do enjoy being my own boss, and it's been a while since I've worked directly for a company, I guess. In a full-time capacity. So I think it would be hard for me to go back at this point, but it's really exciting to have our own venture. Both me and my co-founder have created businesses for other founders that have exited multiple times. And it's really nice to be in the driver's seat and hopefully to have the luck of being able to do it again.
Well, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I should say real quick, situate for the listener what the newsletter is. So I'll give like a quick summary. You can tell me if I'm missing anything. So basically, weekly newsletter, it's kind of like a 360 degree lifestyle product, I would say. There's like, you know, it's an intro. There's an original article every time, like half of it is in the newsletter, then you link out. There's an ad that's like very well, you can kind of barely tell it's an ad, like you can, but it's, you know, very part of, again, the lifestyle. Maybe some clothing, a lot of links there. I don't know if those are affiliate or not. Some cultural recommendations, like kind of short paragraphs, and then some quick, like in case you missed it, kind of news, culture, health links, that kind of thing. And that's it.
Yes, that's it. It's a lot. There's a lot in there.
There is a lot. There's, I mean, I didn't count the, sometimes I count the links on these things. There's probably like, I don't know, 50, 60, yeah. 80 yeah. links. There's a lot of stuff.
Yes.
okay, so... Like we just said, this is your first venture as a founder, as a co-founder. So what I know of the genesis of Gloria is you were consulting for another newsletter back in 2018, which was the product was targeting women in their 20s, and you were turning 40, and you were kind of like, well, where's the newsletter? Like, I don't relate to this so much. Where's the newsletter for me? And you started talking to your friend, ex-colleague, Leslie Price. And you're like, maybe we should do this thing. But you didn't really. You did make a Facebook page in 2019, I saw, but you didn't actually launch it until April 2021. So tell me more about the genesis here.
Well, so I was consulting with this startup. Also, I was working at another company called VinePair. And sitting in a newsroom, like sitting in an editorial room where like you're the oldest person. And you're still not even old yet. You know, I was like 39 and I was like, oh my gosh, but I'd had two kids and like just my priorities were changing. And I still like love and am obsessed with media. Like that's how I got into this in the first place. And I just wanted there to be like something that was like the conversations that me and Leslie and our friends were having like on text. You know, it's like the text chains were always so good. And yet there was nothing out there. Like the closest thing was probably The Cut, which I would say like has the sort of a similar outlook, a similar tone to what we're doing at Gloria as well. But like they still have to skew young. And I always thought that there was a market. Like that advertise, everyone would just be like, well, there's no one who wants to advertise to women this age. And I was like, I don't know. I think that used to be true, but I don't think that's true anymore. And so we wanted to create it. But at the same time, media was really about scale at that time. And neither one of us wanted to do that. Just like put out a bunch of tons and tons of content and have it be distributed on social media and like never really create like your own audience. And so having been through, I think that's where some of our experience comes into play. Having been through like every wave of like pivot to video, like everyone launching podcasts, like all of this social scale. And we're like, you know what? We want to own our own audience because we'd seen people come and go to the algorithm. And we just wanted to avoid that as our fate and wanted to sort of slowly build our own audience and like had seen I mean, newsletters have been around for a long time. I think most people like to talk about it right now as like Morning Brew was the first person that ever thought of this. And like, it's not true.
But like, Skim had been around for 6 years. The Hustle had been around for like 4 or 5 years.
Daily Candy. Like, I mean, that's old, but they sold to like NBC for like $250 million.
What?
Like, nobody talks about it. Yeah. So like, these businesses have been around for a long time. There was a bunch when I was coming up, like my first magazine job in like the early 2000s in San Francisco. So, you know, I think we always knew of it as a good medium, and people, we were people that subscribed. I mean, Refinery29 started as a newsletter. So it's just that when Thrillist started as a newsletter, like a lot of these sort of that turned into giant scale businesses because they felt they had to in that era, all started as newsletters.
I guess it's just too, like, I mean, the word newsletter now, it's like, I feel like the word newsletter was like forgotten. Like, it used to be newsletters, even in the 90s, right? There was newsletters. Even before that, there was like, you know, like pre-internet newsletters were a thing. But then it was like, then it was blogs. And then like this new definition of newsletter, which is, you know, like the thing I do, the thing you guys are doing. Okay, before we get back into Gloria, you did mention like your early days working in magazines and stuff. I'm really interested to hear about like, how, I mean, because when you started, your first job was like, your first magazine job was for Psychology Today. Am I right?
Well, I worked at a regional magazine, kind of like New York Mag of San Francisco, called 7x7.
Yes.
And that was like my first magazine job. I mostly, it's relevant because it's kind of how I got into Eater and Curbed, which was like, you know, a pivotal step in my career, because it was sort of a regional play.
Yeah.
And I could see how many advertisers actually did want to advertise on a regional basis. So then that helped when I went to Eater. But yeah, Psychology Today was my first New York City magazine job. And it was the craziest place I've ever worked in my life.
Yeah. so I feel like, so Psychology Today, looking at your kind of your resume, your background, everything else seems to be pretty lifestyle, like lifestyle type of media product. So I don't know, is Psychology Today that kind of thing?
You know what it is. It's sort of like for, it's for a consumer. It's not like a
trade magazine.
I got that job sort of at the tail end of like print magazines and everything going like digital, but there still wasn't like a ton of great digital jobs. And like, but you wanted to still work at a magazine, but like it was, there was less and less magazine jobs, and I was new to New York and I didn't have a ton of experience, and they hired me. So I was like, great. Like, is every job I wanted, my dream was Food and Wine magazine.
Okay.
And I had an interview there and they're like, well, you don't have enough contacts or whatever. You know, like, you, it used to be like the kind of three martini lunch expense account era. Like, it still was at that time. Yeah. And you had to know all these people. And like, I didn't know anybody because I was in San Francisco and like, I just didn't have the agency contacts. And so I was like, great, I'll just go work for this magazine. I'll get my contacts and then I'll get out. And then that's, but I would spend all my days reading blogs. And then that's how I ended up at Eater and Curbed, is I would obsessively read those blogs and they posted a job one day.
Yeah. Like, so you were with Eater and Curbed and Racked, I believe, right? Like from, was it like 2009 to 2013 or so?
2008 when they first like raised some money and till 2012. Yeah.
So that was kind of like, I mean, that era is kind of like, I don't know, the birth of like modern digital media. Yeah.
I mean, we started, there was no Facebook. There was no Twitter.
Yeah.
No, like we all, like I didn't even have an Apple, like an iPhone, you know, like, but I got one like for that job. Right. So like, it was all this stuff was just constantly new, and it was an exciting time to like see what everyone was doing with all of these things.
Yeah. I'm wondering, like, of all the different outlets, publications you've worked at, was there any where like, or whether it's publications or eras maybe of like digital media that you've worked in, were there any that were particularly like the hardest to do, the hardest to like sell into for some reason, or the easiest? Like, what, I'm really interested in like the differences between these like moments in your career.
I mean, I think, you know what I found was, so one of the best anecdotes is Nick Denton, who's the founder of Gawker, was one of the investors in Curbed and Eater. And I remember this hearing, I didn't hear him say this, but I did hear this from the founder, being like, he didn't think anyone would ever buy an ad on Eater. And I was like curbed, it'll be curbed, you know, well, like that'll make all the money, like not either. And I was like, that's crazy, because that's the only reason I want this job. Like, I just thought about every liquor company that wanted to advertise regionally against this very exciting time in like food culture. It was like chefs were becoming celebrities and like Top Chef was like the hottest thing. And, you know, it was like, it was an exciting food era. It was kind of when everything started. So,
yeah. So that was really fun because you had like a point to prove and it was like easy to prove it.
Yeah. And Racked actually proved the hardest one to sell. And I think that's like continued to be until its end after it even went to Vox. Because it was about sales. And nobody, one, fashion didn't like digital at the time. They thought it was too gutter. You know, they're just like, ooh, we don't want to be on the internet. We still want to be glossy Vogue, you know? Yeah. And then they certainly didn't want to be next to sale content. So it was like, it was almost impossible to get anyone to advertise on Racked. Plus, the name was not great.
Well, wait. So
it was hard. The name was hard. It wasn't the sexiest name.
That was where you met Leslie, your co-founder. Mm-hmm. Now,
yeah, right? She was the founding editor of Racked and like created like an incredible fan base and like people loved it. It was like the sample sales site for a long time, and then it evolved over time. And but she was the voice behind that, and it was just incredible. Such a skilled editor and creator.
What is like, I mean, whether now or then, or I don't know, maybe over time, what has been like working on the business side of media brands, what's like your relationship with the editorial side and like making sure those things are like synergistic?
Yeah. I mean, I think I've been lucky because I think a lot of editor types like me, I'm like a big fan. Like I'm a fan girl of this stuff.
You were saying at the beginning, you were reading all these blogs. Yeah. That's why you wanted to.
Like
to
I'm a fan. I'm not a writer. So like if I was a writer, I would be an editor. You know what I mean? Like, but I just am not. That's not my communication. My best form of communication. Yeah. So I just was like a fan, and I was like, I'd been in sales like early on, and I was like, oh cool, like I'll just sell ads and I'll get to be part of the whole, all of these publications. And so editors have always like liked me, and I've always liked content, and like luckily I've mostly sold like branded content, and like that part's really fun. I don't have to make it, but I get to
like come advertorial up with
the concept. So it has some creative, and I do think I've always been really good at knowing what like editors will and won't do. And like, I have a decent taste level. So like, good. Cause I've worked with people who don't, and you're like, oh no, you can't pitch that. They won't do that.
Well, say more about the, what they will and won't do. Like, what's the line there?
Well, often it's like, you know, it is like a fine line, right? Cause like the advertiser will be like, we're doing fitness for like, it'll be a car company. And they're like, we're focused on fitness, wellness or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you're like eater. You're like, can we do a whole piece on like healthy foods or whatever? And they're like, no, like, we don't do that. Like, that's not going to fit. Right. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, music. And you're like, well, we don't do music. Like, we're a food website.
We're eater.
We're a real estate website, or we're, you know, drinks. So like, knowing how to find the like synergy, to use the word, between the, what their campaigns are and what the brands are, is always really hard. And I think you do have to have a, like, you have to be really understand like good editorial, and sometimes salespeople aren't the best at them.
Yeah. Okay. So what about now? Like, now that it's not like, you know, you're part of a larger organization and, and you're the sales director and Leslie is like the editor, now that you're like co-founders, I imagine it's much more like blended. Tell me about like your relationship and how you kind of demarcate the work
still
now.
Bicker about it. You know, I'll be like, I really want this piece.
That's what,
like,
keeps it fun.
She'll want to do pieces that I think are not going to be good. But I also am not trained at all in this. Right. And I'm just like, ugh, no one's going to read that. And then it'll be the most popular thing that, you know, people click through on the newsletter.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's times when I like push back, but mostly I lose. So that's, it's fine. That's how it works.
What's like one of your,
like, you get to come up, you know, she does listen to me when there's things in my life where I'm like, you know what I really want to know more about? Or my friends here in New York were asking about this health thing, and then she'll help, you know, she'll assign it out and we'll get the story. So it's good. And other times she ignores me.
So. Yeah. Okay. So 3.5 years or so you've been doing this. Is it profitable?
We'll be profitable next year. It's been like, you know, we've doubled revenue every year. We've only really monetized since early 2023. So like the first couple of years were really like building the audience, figuring out what worked, finding just more people. But we really just started monetizing like once we hit 25,000 subscribers in early 2023. I was like, that's a number I could go out with. But like when we had 5,000 subscribers, like it wasn't worth it. So I was mostly focused on like growth at that point. But it was it was late those years, you know, heavier workload for Leslie as we were building the audience. And then it's been a year and a half of like really going out to market, having like with the product. And so
how about like, so you're saying it was a heavier load for Leslie. Is it just the two of you? I know you work with freelance writers, but it's just the two of you full time.
We also have a freelance, like sort of the person who does like a features editor. So she helps kind of find those freelance writers and assigns those out and does all the back and forth. And then this next year we'll be adding like a support person for probably a hybrid. They'll have to do both editorial and sales. But I think that's like a good place for people who are interested in getting in media to learn both sides. But that's the next person we're going to add.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have a social media person, but it's so hard.
You'll get there. I mean, you have like 21,000 Instagram followers, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we've done that like ourselves.
Yeah. okay. Well, what about like chapters of the business? It sounds like there was maybe the first couple of years where you're building the audience, and now it's like, been like
we started with friends, and like we would get linked to from like our friends' newsletters, and sort of built it slowly, and then like through word of mouth. I mean, we get so many people just saying like, "Oh my god, I love it! I've been a subscriber forever. I'm obsessed!" Like with my whole group chat is about what you guys write about each day. I think it's a really underserved audience. So it was sort of like the first years we were coming out of the pandemic. Me and Leslie are both moms, and that was hard to work full time at that time when your kids were around or school would be open or it wasn't open or like you never knew what was going to happen that day. So like by coming out of 2021, things started to get a little bit more regular, and then we were able to kind of continue publishing, but we didn't really start to take it super seriously until we had kind of reached that 25,000. And that was like 2 years in. So it was like 2 years of just like building it and keeping up the cadence, even when weeks were crazy and you don't want to send. And like, it's just really important to stay on the cadence and create a habit for people. And then it's been, the second chapter has been like sort of proof of concept, like that we can find advertisers that want to reach this audience. And like, we have a lot of repeat advertisers who love it, who are targeting this market. And there isn't really a place to reach them outside of social media, like people who want to be like part of the conversation, part of the content versus just doing stuff on Instagram and Facebook. So that's been great. And now, you know, we're going to be focusing on growth and monetization. We're launching a second newsletter.
Okay. Well, so this is actually what I was really curious about, because
everything's happening this week.
Yeah.
We're moving to Beehive.
This big
chapter. We're launching a second send. So it'll be Tuesday, Fridays now. Basically, Fridays just had a lot in it. And we noticed people come back to it multiple times over the weekend. It's also like, sometimes it would be if we had multiple ads and like a feature was really long, or then we had a partnership, like a giveaway. Like the open rate would have problems because the Google didn't like it. Like it's too long, you know, so, or Gmail didn't like it. And so we're like, let's just split it into two. Like it'll be more digestible that way. Plus we'll double
surface area for ads.
Exactly. So without really having to do so much more work, so we can keep our small team and double our revenue. So,
okay. So it's going to be like, it's not necessarily like going to be a ton more content, just like
it'll be like digestible. A little bit more to like make each one worth it. So we're gonna keep one that's like a little lighter. Sometimes it was hard to find a way to talk about like osteoporosis along with like leopard shopping. Like these two things were sort of,
which is your brand though, to be able to do that alongside though.
Yeah, so we're gonna keep one sort of like lighter. It's gonna be fashion and beauty and aesthetics and you know, personalities. And then our Friday one will remain kind of the same, which will be recommendations, things to watch, things to read, you know, that stuff, as well as a feature. And each of them will have an intro, which seems to be a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah,
part of it is Leslie's voice. Point of view, and people really feel seen. And I think she keeps it light. And when the world feels so crazy right now, you know, we don't talk about politics. We're like a nice escape, I think.
Yeah.
And a place where women really feel seen, especially in this demographic, that we do have tons of younger subscribers as well.
Well, so what you're saying right now, like everything you just said for the last like 30 seconds is reminding me of somebody I interviewed a couple months ago who, when I was looking at the Gloria Instagram, one of her reels was at the top, Caitlin Murray, big time adult.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Yeah. Like what you were just saying about like how you talk to your audience and stuff. It's like exactly what she was saying.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I agree. I listened to that one preparing for this and I love her. Like, I think what she's doing really speaks to me too. And there's a sea of moms doing it perfectly. It's really nice to see someone who's saying the truth or whatever. It resonates with me at least, you know, I don't think it's for everyone, but
yeah, well, it doesn't,
she does. She found a niche that no one was serving, you know? And I think that's what Gloria's done as well.
Yeah. You also told me that you're going to launch like a new paid subscription model. What's that gonna be?
We don't have that quite like nailed down yet, but it's definitely part of our revenue mix, like plan for the future. So we do affiliate, which is like 25% right now, and ads are 75%. I'd love to like take the pressure off the ads a little bit because that can be a little volatile. and add, there's a lot of people who are big fans who want to engage further with Gloria. So like, through education, I mean, we talk to a lot of authors, like for interviews, and we talk to a lot of health experts. And so we've thought if there's a way to do offer our readers like access to those people, like on a, in small digital meetings, or like have small talks or do book events, which we did one this year and it was great.
Like digital or in person?
We did one like in the store with two books that launched that were really made for this demographic, and the authors were too. So Leslie was the moderator. It was great. So we want to do more of that, but we want, you know, like for access to those like gatherings, in-person things, interviews, you know, we want discussions. We'll have that be sort of like a fan club or like a, you know, like it's not like a, like, it's not going to be more content, I don't think, like outside
of deeper movies. Rather than wider. Yeah.
And like the ability to meet in person and like just engage a little bit more.
So meeting in person, is it like is your audience like geographically local, like centralized anywhere?
No, I mean, I think it'll be sort of somewhat difficult. We'd have to do it in major areas, like, and there'll be people that will be left out, obviously. But, you know, I still think it's an opportunity to offer it to our readers first, who are part of the paid group of Gloria readers, and do special things for them. And like, there's a lot of beauty brands that want to do sampling, like things like that, that like we can offer to like a smaller group of readers, which is like a little more manageable with a small team as well.
Yeah.
So like, if we can sort of create this group of people who really like what we do, who want to support us and offer them a little bit more as well, I think that will be great. I think we have the people there that are ready to do it. We've surveyed and we're ready to go. We're just trying to, you know, do one thing at a time. So right now we're redesigning and launching a second one.
Too many things, only a couple of you.
Hopefully by the end of the year is the goal.
That's realistic. Yeah. I do, like, do you have, it sounds like, you know, the audience is like kind of clamoring for a deeper relationship with Gloria and with you guys. Is there like how do you interface with the audience right now? Are they replying to the emails?
They just reply to the emails, but we don't do a ton of like back and forth. Like, I think we're a little bit,
that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work and we don't really have time for that. And it is sort of a one way thing right now, but I think that's what we'd like to open up. Cause we do get a lot of responses. People who like love it, who feel seen. I mean, they just send us the nicest things. So I know right now we're not engaging as much as we'd like to, and I think that those people would like, but you know, we're doing what we can right now, and that's a goal.
Yeah. Are you comfortable sharing any of the audience stats, like subscriber count, where you are right now, open rate, click rate? It's okay if you're not, we can edit it out, but
I'm not gonna share all of that. But open rate is like between 50% and 60%, and like click is high, like 15%. I mean, we put a lot of links, so
yeah.
It's like 30% of the readers are clicking on something.
That's really good. I mean, for Creator Spotlight, we're not like, we're an article, right? Like, so I think we get right now, it's like 1.25 is like kind of our average, which is fine. You're not
linking out to anything.
Exactly. But I always wonder with people with like newsletters like yours, like another one I interviewed Casey Lewis of After School, who also you guys have interviewed before.
We love her. Yeah.
She's great. Yeah. Uh-huh. I also just interviewed her on our other podcast, Tasteland, like a week ago. Mm-hmm. But she was saying it was like 17% clicks, yeah. Which is like, you know, when it's all clicks, which is interesting because like I read her newsletter.
And her newsletter is great. Like I have no business. I'm not marketing to young people at all. It's yeah. just so engaging.
But
it's
wait, great. She's so smart. Yeah. Okay. Tell me more about the social. Like it seems like you guys are only on Instagram. Like I said, you're at like 21,000.
Yeah.
It's more like
me and Leslie are not, we've purposefully made Gloria brand and not about us. We're not people mm-hmm. who like to live online. It's not where we're comfortable. It's not what we want to build. Like, I think we've seen too many people like canceled or, you know what I mean? Like, you're just like, I don't want, like, I want a brand that
you don't
want
to be exposed.
Can be exposed, that can fit into like a media company. Like, I mean, you have to have, whether you end up the opportunity to exit, you're building a brand. Like, I don't want to be related to our personalities because then you're sort of tied to it. And I've seen people who have built their media companies on their personality, and it's none of them have been able to exit at a level where they want it to be because they have to give up too much. And by the time you're ready to sell, you're kind of done, right? Yeah. Like, you know, you don't want to have to do 6 more years or 5 more years. So we've purposely like kind of not done that because we want to build a brand that can like live on after us, mm-hmm. you know, like whatever happens to it, like that's the goal. And also we're not incredibly comfortable with it. And it is, I think, something that we will figure out better in the future. Like, I'd love to be on TikTok. I think there's a lot of ways we can do it. Right now, it's a bandwidth.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, it's the same with me where I'm always like, oh, I could be like, you know, we will put some of these clips of mm-hmm. me talking to you right now on TikTok, but I'm always like, oh, I could be like, you know, doing this and holding the camera here and like, you know, breaking down bits and pieces of a newsletter. But it's like, I don't have the time.
And it's the total shift, right? Yeah. It's like right now I'm already doing 3 jobs. It's like, I'm the growth manager, the revenue person. I'm also art. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm just like, so just shifting between those 3 jobs alone and the 3 different tools that you use for those jobs, like content creation on TikTok is a totally different set of tools. And so you have to like completely shift into like a new work mode and then create a bunch of stuff and then go back to other things. But I think, you know, like what we're doing now, like having our interview on video and on audio, like that's something we could do and like turn into content.
Something you just said, you said that you do art too, and you're not very on social media. So when I was researching you for this, one of the few places I found you was like, an artist you've worked with had credited you as the art director. On something on a post. So I'm really curious to hear more about like you do so much. You're a co-founder, makes sense. Art director, sales, growth, etc. What is like whether it's easier to say a day in your work life looks like or a week in your work life looks like?
Right. I mean, I guess it's more of like, I guess you could say I'm sort of a brand manager, right? It's like, where like the art is mostly just like making sure it fits with mm-hmm. like our tone, like the voice of the newsletter and the vibe. It's not like I'm doing the best job. I'm sure someone else could do better, but I enjoy it actually. Yeah. I think it's really fun. So I probably spend like, I don't know, a half a day, maybe like doing all that stuff, like finding it and then mm-hmm. like sizing it and putting it all in. I mean, it's not usually I do it like at night while watching TV, but I actually enjoy it. It's really fun. It's like you have like a deadline and it has to be done versus like business development, which is like never done. And there's never an end. And there's never, it's just like, I should call 17 people today. But
that's
like,
it. The business has developed enough.
So I spend, you know, a half a day, I'd say, on that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I spend probably half my time on like figuring out partnerships and growth. Like, what can we do that's like low lift growth opportunities with like-minded newsletters where we're just doing like a recommendation swap and like keeping on that and keeping on the deadlines of those kind of partnerships. So that's been a big focus. It's a lot of back and forth. Figuring out other, you know, like we do some paid stuff on Meta. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I think that's where our audience is. So we do it. And then I do, you know, advertising stuff, getting new advertisers, getting their materials, putting their ads together, making them, getting their approval. You know, I mean, it's like, it's, I wish it was a little high level sometimes. Like right now we're really doing all of it.
Doing too much working in the business, not on the business, as they
say. Right. Yeah. Like you're, you know, cropping photos like that. That's like time. That's probably not your best time. So like, I think we are looking for to add a support person to sort of allow us to do a little more high level.
Yeah. One more thing.
I still enjoy it.
Well, I mean, hopefully it sounds like you've been spending like 60 hours a week on it for 3 years. How much time a week do you think? I mean, maybe it's hard to tell because it's like you're always on.
Yeah.
But how much?
I mean, it's not 60 hours. No. Yeah. I would say, you know, we both have pretty active family lives and like I never feel like this is pulling away from that. So it's actually like perfect.
That's good. So we've talked a little bit about growth briefly at a couple of points now, but I'd love to just put a point on that. So you're saying that it's been largely kind of like, you know, inter newsletter recommendations, word of mouth, which I think it, because like you're saying, it is such a like specific demographic that's underserved. So it's like one reader is going to share it with another. So it's this newsletter recommendations, word of mouth, and then a little bit of paid. And that's it.
That's it. We did do like some of the Spark Loop and some of that stuff for a while. The thing I find sort of challenging about some of those services is that right now the newsletter market is really saturated with a lot of like B2B, bro-y, AI, crypto. Like, it's not my audience. So, like, I think it's great for those newsletters, and those people tend to have a lot to say about how great it is for growth. Yeah. And, like, you just feel like you're like, oh my God, everyone's growing. And, you know, we did it, and I just didn't feel like any of it was super quality. And it was like, still took time and effort. So we kind of stopped there, but maybe I need to go back and explore that. We did, you know, make some nice relationships with a couple other newsletters, and they're just, the women's market is, there's just like huge ones, and then there's Substacks. And so it's kind of like finding your niche within those and finding people to partner with, but like really have your audience. So
this is so, this is like one of my favorite soapboxes to get on. I love that I've been using this term, like the newsletter internet, right? Which is like, as opposed to, you know, a big complete publication like the New York Times, which has all its sections and columns, et cetera. And that's like a full ecosystem. Then, right, there's the newsletter internet where it's like, you have aspirations to be this like larger publication, et cetera. But like, you know, you're not trying to be the New York Times. You are trying to be this like lifestyle media brand for women. You're not trying to do like breaking news, et cetera. But then it's like, the reader consuming your content then like is also consuming, you know, seven other newsletters or whatever. And so it's like they are assembling their own kind of like newspaper. And so I like, especially like with somebody who has like a Substack where it's like kind of a personal blog, not that they all are, but a lot of them are, I think of that as like a column on the newsletter internet, right? Substack's a whole nother can of worms because like they kind of are trying to be a media company themselves, and like these people
or
are
a
like
social
freelance
network.
Columnists.
Which one?
But I'm curious, I don't know if you have thoughts on like this idea of the newsletter internet and your role in it for your readers.
I mean, I love that. I think we are a aggregator, obviously, of the internet for this specific woman.
With original content, too.
Like, we're finding the stuff that's relevant to them in, like, a world where there's so much content. And, like, our readers are extremely busy. They're women between 35 and 50. Kids, careers peaking, like, so many responsibilities, aging parents, like, and you just
no time to troll
have a
Twitter for articles. And close.
No, and you they're spending probably more time than they want to on like Instagram with other people's lives. And I think what people like really like about it is like it's this moment. Like we get so much feedback. It's like, I can't wait. Friday, I sit down, or like Saturday or whenever they read it comes out on Friday.
Got your cup of coffee.
Yeah. And I get so excited for all the links. And like people, we have a like a fair like our desktop engagement is a lot because people want to be able to like go back. So like open
tabs.
And go back. So I think we're serving that purpose for like this particular female is like a cultural and like health. And a lot of people really want more health from us. There's so much misinformation and snake oil salesmen out there who claim to treat women that are entering menopause or perimenopause and have answers to all these health problems. And like, there's really no proof to any of it. And so like, just offering science-based actionable like health stuff. They just like, everyone wants to know like, what am I supposed to be doing? I'm 38. What do I do so that I age well? You know? Yeah. And they're like, what, how much should I be working out? What should I be eating? Da, 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 da. And so like giving people like answers to that, I think is a place that we're serving people that like, I think outside of that, the place people are getting this information is Instagram, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to back out of Gloria for a bit and talk more about like digital media business. And like, let's say, I mean, for me and for the listener, let's say all I know about, you know, digital, like turning digital media into a business is like, okay, you can sell ads, you can do advertorial, you can do affiliate links, and you can do, you know, like subscription models. Let's say that's all I know. Like, tell me how you build a good, healthy, sustainable media business, digital media business.
God, it's so hard right now because the internet is changing so much right now. Yeah. So that's a tough question.
Well, I mean, okay, I mean, that's maybe, I mean, that's too broad.
It's like, been like, different things like over the years, right?
Yeah. Which actually, that's what I'm really interested in. Mm-hmm. Like how you would say you would do it 10 years ago that just wouldn't work now even.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I mean, honestly, it's not that different. I'll say like, if you found yourself an audience that is obsessed and loves you, but, and I, this is where I come from, like this sort of smaller niche lifestyle publications that I was huge fans of, and couldn't wait to like go out and sell and work with the people that were on that team. And like, I could easily see brands that would align with it. And it's like, I'm not that good of a salesperson. Like, I only really like, I like this. And like, here's the brands that'll be good. Like, I would have a hard time selling something I hated, you know, like Psychology Today was hard. So I don't think it's incredibly different. Like, if you build this audience, you find brands, you go out and you talk to them and you come up with ways where you align and you find a way to integrate them into the most popular features that you make that your audience loves, you know, like we do a lot of like stuff with like Ann Taylor, and like our audience also loves shopping and clicking on all the things. So it's really easy to like do an edit of Ann Taylor stuff and be like, here's the greatest stuff on Ann Taylor. And like, people want that. They want that edit. It clicks through and it really aligns. And it's been great. They've continued to advertise with us for a while now.
Congratulations.
So I think, thanks. So I think it's not that different.
It's all still just about like having a specific, I mean, it sounds like the core thing is always a specific audience, right? Like you have like a specific audience.
Who cares about you? Yeah. You know, I think that I will say, I'm not sure I can say, I'll say where the time that I struggled the most was the weird scale era, where there was like, I was working for a brand that was all about scale, but no one really cared about the brand. Like they were only getting it in their social media feeds. And I found that to be the hardest to sell interesting things into that were like big deals, you know, like where you're getting a six-figure deal and like the brand is super excited to align with you. Like it ended up being this sort of commodity play where they're like, write us an article and then just like spend money on Facebook and like get it out there.
It was a quantity, not quality.
Right. And like, it was just, you couldn't, it was hard to get a meeting because no one's ever heard of it, but like it's on their Facebook feed. So it's getting like millions and millions of views. And that was a really terrible era, at least for me. I didn't like that at all. And like, I had gone from a really small, very niche Lucky Peach to this other place. And that was like a real whiplash because brands just like wanted to align with Lucky Peach because it was like cool. It was like one of the easiest things to like ever sell because they could create beautiful content for them that they loved. And then the other direction, I just hated it at all. I think it's probably even harder now. Like, I'm glad I don't work for some big like Vox Media. Like I just think it would be so hard to really be selling against like all the stuff you can be doing on social. And I don't know.
Do you, I mean,
I like selling my little newsletter. It's great. Especially considering this audience is sort of hard to find other places. It's
like, I think it was in the other, like the one other interview that you and Leslie have done about this on the Quality Edit. I think it was in there. I was reading how you were talking about like that this audience actually is so huge for like the amount of spend they have like in the market, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I think what I read was like it's like women in this demographic of like 35 to 55 or whatever control like 80% of consumer spending in America.
You make all the money. Like all the money, or like in a household, you're controlling like most of the spending, right? Yeah. So I don't know why people wouldn't want to advertise to this group. It's amazing.
Yeah. I think what you're saying too, like, you know, you find a way to sell the quality thing. That's like what really interests me, right? And that's like, mm-hmm. When I doing Creator Spotlight, I try to find people who are doing like either really high quality content, even if they don't necessarily have a big audience. I'm interested in when people are like producing something really quality, even if they don't have a big audience and aren't even really making any money from it. I find that like admirable, right? But then I'm also really interested to talk to people like you who like can figure out how to monetize like the mm-hmm. quality content. But I find it such a disconnect where like, especially in, as we were saying, like this quite saturated newsletter world, there's so many people who like, I think are only good at one or the other. Like maybe they're really good at actually growing an audience and mm-hmm. Making ad dollars, but they're not good at producing quality content. And then there's like the people on the opposite end, really good at producing quality content, don't know the first thing about making a dollar.
Right.
And this is like, I don't know. I think that's one thing. I don't know if I worry about it, but that I think is a problem to be solved. Where it's like there needs to be more people, I think, working with people from the other side of the Venn diagram. You know, ideally you're in the middle and you can do both, but like I don't know if you can. I guess I'm asking for like advice you could give to people who happen to like, you know, indie newsletter operators who like are trying to crack that other side of the thing. Mm-hmm. Like what advice would you give to like the creative person who doesn't really understand the business side but is good at producing the content?
Yeah. So like I've had the opportunity to work with many people. Like it's kind of what I spent a lot of my consulting years doing, is like incredible creative product who never really hired the right revenue person. Yeah. And it's often because like they're hiring them, and most editorial people hate salespeople. So they're like, they will hire the wrong person versus hiring like someone with experience because they're like annoying or they don't get it or whatever. I think my advice to anyone would be to like think about it early. Mm-hmm. People wait too long, and then one, you've lost like a little momentum, like you're not new and exciting anymore. And two, you're too far behind. Usually like I'll get a call from people when they're already running out of money, you know, and they're like, I can't do this anymore. And I'm like, but like literally a salesperson, it takes 6 months. Like you have to have someone working on this. It doesn't have to be their only thing. I mean, I'm sure there's a crop of people that have created businesses. I haven't met anybody yet, but like, this is what I would have probably been doing, is having like 4 newsletters. Mm-hmm. And I'm like the contracted salesperson. And you find 4 that are all together and you're out there selling across it. I mean, this has been done for years. You know, people have been doing this for magazines and stuff forever. But finding, it takes 6 months to like really have like, where you're not sweating anymore. You've got 3 months booked out, because these brands are planning months and months and, you know, sometimes a year ahead.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get an ad next week from like some big advertiser just because you hired someone that day. So it's like, I do think there's often a misunderstanding between the two sides about like how long it takes and how much money it's going to be and like how much control you're going to have over who the advertiser is.
But how early is too early? Because you're saying like you want to start early. Like what can you start with? Like obviously it's not about just a number. It's also about like who the audience is, et cetera.
Right.
Like, I don't know. In as much as you can put that in a box. Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess we're pretty general lifestyle, and I was able to start selling ads at 25,000.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not there anymore. It's much easier now. Yeah. But you could get people to write you back, you know? But that's general lifestyle. Plus, like, there's very specific brands that are targeting these women right now. So I started there, like obvious ones. It's like there's a lot of like telehealth and things like that. Or there's also like a ton of great services that you can just put yourself on, and like Paved.
Mm-hmm. Beehive has an ad network.
Yeah, it does. I know. I'm excited to check it out. We'll see. I mean, it's always like not always great for like our newsletter, but I see how it works in a lot of the bro-y ones. But we need more women's brands advertising newsletters.
Well, we need more women newsletters to advertise it.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of them are on Substack. So I guess, you know, it's just sort of a different place.
I do. I mean, honestly, when I'm researching for looking for people to talk to for this series, it's like I'm platform agnostic, right? Like I look everywhere. But yeah, Substack definitely seems to have like the highest concentration of women.
Yeah. Women, fashion.
Yeah.
I was told by someone that there's a big hole in fitness. So if anyone's looking for opportunities, there's not enough fitness newsletters, apparently.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess it's like, I think of fitness as like a category that's pretty well served, but maybe that's like YouTube video content.
Right. I mean, I do Instagram. It's like, you want to see it, but it's like, there's that one newsletter. I think it's still called She's a Beast, but maybe she's changed it.
I know about
it. And like, people love it. Yeah, she's great. Sorry, what was the question? I feel like
No. I think
I answered it. Well, my advice is start. I don't know. I think 25,000 is probably like a good number. 100's better.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, but like, great. <No shit.
laughs> But I mean, if you want to talk to really big brands, you know, there's different avenues, right? Like, we get people like influencer agencies sometimes, and it's like they're more comfortable in the sort of size that we are. But it's not affiliate only. Like, you know, they're paying for the space. It doesn't feel like an influencer campaign by any means. It's like the same kind of, here's an insertion order, here's what we're doing. Like, it's not influencer content. So,
sense. But it's not that, but it's more about the indie media operator, which like an influencer is like a type of, you know, indie media brand within themselves.
Right. We're not like calling on big agencies. Like, I'm not going to waste my time there. No. So direct is always the best.
Okay. Just have a few more questions. We're getting near there. What is your proudest moment in this business to date, or like a favorite thing that happened?
Oh my gosh. One of our favorite bloggers, Cup of Joe, I don't know if you're familiar with her, Joanna Goddard. She put an article we wrote like on a big post she was writing. She recommended that everybody read this article, and like that was huge for growth, and also just like huge to see someone that we watched for like
huge for your ego
15 years like link to us. I guess some of like those, like when big people link to you, is like exciting. I mean, she's not big, but that one, she's very in this demographic. And it was great for us. I think just the fact that we did it and we do it,
you're still here,
like that we took the plunge. I mean, we had this idea for 4 years almost, I think, like before we even did anything.
And you'd been consulting for a few years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we kept being like, we should do it. Like, I had the name forever. Like, I was just like, this is it. Like, there's this thing that's happening. And I think it's like now starting to like have more and more people like interested in this as like millennials start to reach 40. Like, it's really kicking off. I think there's more and more people who are like interested in this content, but like, I'm not a millennial. I'm just like barely not a millennial.
Yeah.
I think just the fact that we did it, that we've created it, that it's reached so many people, that we get so much feedback being like, I love this. I feel seen. That's the best thing.
That's
ever.
Amazing. Well, but
especially when you want to quit and then you get, we did a survey this last week of just like, what do you like and what do you want more of? And it was just like, 1,000 people respond.
That's
like, oh my God, it's so, like amazing. Because that's like a lot of effort to like take your time, fill it out, you know, care enough to say good things to us. So that's the best.
So, okay. So if you're feeling good about it right now and you know, this big new chapter is about to start, where would you like this to be? Where would you dream of this being, let's say in 1 year and in 3 years?
I mean, in 1 year, I just want to have a bigger team and be able to be doing as many things as we want to be doing. You know, like right now you're like, this would be great. And everyone gives you their ideas. Like, I'd love to do this. And you're like, I know, we just don't have just getting it out twice a week, every week is like a miracle. Right. So,
heard that.
So I'd like us to have more people and be doing like a little bit more like off newsletter. You know, like growing sort of an audience there and like interacting a little bit more. And then in 5 years, I don't know. I mean, I'd love to have, I mean, this is lofty. I'd love to have like a network of women's newsletters, you know, that are full of these great brands that speak to different groups of women.
You got the science one.
Exactly. Or like even for younger women or for moms or whatever. I mean, we're very like not mom. We're not moms. We don't do a lot of mom. You know, it's like we're about women who are moms, but like that's not their only identity. And so we try to speak to that other side.
Well, maybe you work with Caitlin Murray, Big Time Adulting, and develop.
Yeah, right. Or like maybe we get to a point where we can acquire other people who've built these audiences who don't want to build the big business around it. These are all I'm not saying these are in our plans, but these
are in your dreams.
Amazing things, yeah. Or ways that I see that it could grow. And that would be great.
Cool. Okay, only one more question then. You gave some great advice on the the monetization for early newsletter operators. Is there anything else, any other advice you would give to any indie media operators generally?
Oh my God. Don't do it. Don't get into it. It's a really hard business.
It is hard.
It's really hard to make money, like to make a lot of money, and there's easier ways to make a buck. So
be warned. Cool. All right. Well, that's it.
All right.
Thanks for coming on the pod. Where should people go to check out Gloria?
HelloGloria.com. You can sign up there. We'll have a new website too.
The fancy new website. By the time this is live, mm-hmm. it'll be out there.
It'll be out there.
Cool. Well, this has been the Creator Spotlight Podcast. I have been Francis Zier, and our guest today has been Michelle Kerb. See you next week.